Some of you won't see the end of this decade. 2020. But I am going to prophesy to you now that during this next decade, you are going to have more challenges than you've ever had in your life because of your faith. I want to ask you the question, who are you? Where are you headed? You ever hear the saying, you are what you eat? You eat all cholesterol, you begin to look like cholesterol. We need a healthy balance, don't we? You need the peas and the greens. You need a little bit of all, except the crabs.
Amen.
And the escargot.
Amen.
I believe you are what you believe as well.
Yes.
Your outlook on life, who you are in character, your disposition is because of what you believe. Question is, what do we believe? A lot of confusion in this generation. When I was growing up, everybody believed in Jesus, went to church. It was an era of revival time yet. You had revivals, and everybody, including the sinners, came to church. Because there wasn't any bonanza then to watch on Sunday night. Didn't have the big flat screen TV. All of the other things. We came to church, people from the community came, because that's what was going on. But my, how things have changed. The man by the name of Barnum, and I'm going to turn the mic.
Thank you, Brother Brian, keeping us straight. Man by the name of Barna. He's a poster. Mainly for Christianity, the trends in the church world. He took a poll recently, and these are some of the things that he found out. Less than one out of every five, that is 19%, born-again adults has a biblical worldview. In other words, they don't know how to apply the Bible to the world we live in. Only 50% of all self-identified Christians firmly believe that the Bible is totally accurate in all the principles it teaches. In other words, choose what you don't like, tear it out. You heard the story about the little boy on the front seat of church, and his daddy looked at him, he's tearing pages out of his Bible, and his dad said, "What are you doing, son?" "Well, the pastor said we really didn't need this." Didn't have a whole lot left. Do we really believe that what this Bible teaches, the principles, are accurate and true, and they are what we need to establish our lives upon? Only 50% of self-identified Christians. Only half. half of the church believes that it's accurate in what it teaches. Only 27%, or one in four adults, are confident that Satan exists. I sat in a seminary a few years back. A seminary not too far from here was studying toward a master's degree, because you see, at that time, I was going to get my master's degree from the seminary. Had already talked to the chairman of the Bible division at Lee University, and he said, Dr. Odom will be resigning or retiring. At the time you get out of college, I'll hold the slot for you, and you can become a professor of religion at Lee University. God turn things upside down. Instead, I'm here.
Amen.
But one in that class, the professor in that seminary was telling these future pastors of that denomination, there is no personal devil. And that was just over 30 years ago. Now those pastors have been out there for the last 30 years, and they have been preaching to their congregations and telling their people there's no such thing as a personal devil. Only 34% of adults believe in absolute moral truth. 34, one-third of adults. Did you hear just recently a pastor overseas, a bishop, got up before his congregation and told his congregation that in the times we are living in, it is all right to shoplift. Those big organizations, they have plenty, they have full, their shelves are full, and if you're in need, you're not breaking the command of God that thou shalt not steal by shoplifting from those who have plenty. Actually taught that from the pulpit. Barna says, most self-identified Christians believe that the Bible and other sacred books from non-Christian religions all teach the same truths and principles. Most self-identified Christians. There's the key. We're not talking about the man out here on the street that never goes to church. I was at breakfast yesterday morning, and an elderly gentleman was introduced to me, and I asked him the question before he got away. Where do you go to church? Oh, well, you know, he started him, and I knew right away I had him. I got out of going to church as a young fellow, and I've not been going on. I said, you're a prime candidate. Here's my card. I'll be looking for you on a Sunday morning. We're not talking about that fellow. We're talking about the people that are in church. Self-identified Christians believe that all religious books all teach the same thing as the Bible, regardless of their religion. Only 50% of adults contend that Christianity is still the automatic faith of choice in the United States. I was in Williamsburg Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown. And as I went through the museums, as I looked at the foundation of what our Confederate, our states, our government was founded on, I found out that practically all, 100% of all of those involved in the establishment of the United States of America believed in God Almighty and Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That was the, everybody went to church one place or another. Everybody believed in God, whoever you talked to. Everybody believed in the Bible. Now, only 50% of adults believe that Christianity is the automatic choice of faith in our country. That means 50% don't believe in God, the Bible, Jesus Christ. What's that tell you? The foundational structure of our government is slowly crumbling away. What do we believe? There's a lot of confusion about what is right today. You can imagine from what I've told you and some of the preaching that's going on in America, like a pastor telling his congregants, all right to shoplift. What do we believe in the midst of this confusion? Well, let me go to the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. This is what Paul said, "For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths." That's the kind of a society that Paul prophesied would be in the days before the coming of Christ. There would be a time in which people would only go where they were heard what they want to hear. You heard Sister Cheryl say, "If you call me, I'm going to tell you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear." And that's the way it needs to be. When I pick up this Bible and I begin to read it, there are times when I look at it and say, "Oh Lord, you just didn't say that to me. Ah, I've got to change my life. I have to change my way of thinking. I've got to change my opinion, because there it is in God's Word, black and white. I have to measure up to this. I don't make this measure up to me." How many believe you can make this book say whatever you want it to say? There was a preacher, the story is told, that wanted to, back in years gone by, you know, the ladies, you remember ladies, you remember those beehive hairdos? Get the roll of toilet paper out in the evening and wrap it all around. This pastor thought that was worldly, so he was going to preach a sermon on the top notch come down. And he preached a whole sermon on ladies' hairdos, taking a text from the Bible, "Top notch come down." It's in Matthew 24. "Let those that are on the housetop not come down." See, he just took what he wanted. It's a little humorous, and I'm not sure that it actually happened, but how many people do you know? They know what the Bible says, but they don't want to hear what it says. How many are available today, like the Apostle Paul said, who they know exactly what is good for them in the Word of God, and yet they don't want to hear about it? I've had people in the past that stopped coming to church, and when I visited them or called them, their opinion was, "Well, you're too strict. You follow the Bible too closely. It's, you know, I like to do this or I like to do that." And so what happens is, while they're sitting under the Word of God, hearing what the Word of God says, they're falling under conviction. The only way to get out from under conviction is not hear it and leave. Or go find some place where they will. Do you know that a large percentage of churches today are preaching to what the people want to hear? We want to hear the good. We want to hear the positive. We want to hear the upbeat. Don't ever preach to us about hell. Don't ever preach to us about thou shalt not. But preach about what we shall do and what preach to us prosperity. Everything's going to be hunky-dory, peachy-keen. They're lying to their people is what they're doing. But people are flocking to it because it's what I want to hear. And right here it is, the Apostle Paul declared that it would be a part of the day. Liberal churches and universities claim to have more enlightenment than what the dusty Bible has to say. They claim to improve on God's Word. Well, it's not really that way. You know, I sat in that same seminary class and a professor that had, I think it was three doctorates behind his name, three PhDs, and he was standing there teaching the class, and we were talking about the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, you know, and Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and we always... It just took for granted that Moses, that's what all the scholars were saying, Moses wrote those five books of the Bible. And he stood in front of the class with all of his degrees and he said, if some old grandma sitting in a rocker on the front porch wants to believe that Moses wrote it, let her believe it. You're not going to change your mind anyhow. But we know that A, D, E, and G wrote these. He didn't know who A, D, and G was. But they're the ones that wrote it. I said, can you prove that to me? Well, no. But we look at the language of it and we think that this part was written and that part and the other part. And I said, what's wrong with Moses writing the whole business? Maybe he did get it from several different sources. But what's wrong with him being the author of it all? Well, it turned out nothing was wrong with that. But you see, the liberals say, this is not really what it says. Why do they do that? They do not tolerate the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you know the truth, then you can follow the truth, and there's a path and there's a light to guide you and to lead you and direct you. But when truth interferes with your life, when truth interferes with the way you live, when truth interferes with your desires and your pleasure and your lust of life, then you don't want to tolerate that. So you make yourself a distance. Yet you still want to be religious. They reject the truth for sensationalism. We want to tell what everybody wants to hear. We want to be able to pull all of the crowd in. Yes, you can come join our church. It doesn't matter what you believe. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how you live. Come on, join in with us. We're all one great big happy family. Live as you please. We don't care what you do outside the doors of the church. Just come on in and be part of the family of God. Sensationalism. They gather viewpoints to suit their selfish desires. And you can see it all of the time. You look at different leaders, religious leaders in our world, and you hear what they have to say. You point it to the Word of God and you find out what they are saying is only what they want to say. It is their viewpoint. And it is backing up their own lust, their own selfish desires of life.
not what the Word of God says.
People believe what they want to hear. You ever done that? I've even had people at funerals who would not accept the fact that whoever was lying in the casket wasn't really dead. They're not there. No. You can't tell me. No, no, no. They haven't really died. They're still living. Because they didn't want to accept that. That's an extreme thing. But there are individuals, and you and I are very well acquainted with, because there have been times in my life when somebody told me something that I knew was a truth, but I didn't want to hear it. So therefore, I didn't want to believe it. And so I turned my back upon it. I had a choice, accept it or reject it. One of the two. The question for us then is, do I believe what I believe because it suits my lifestyle or because I know it's the truth? I am what I am because I've accepted certain principles and character of life to live my life by. Now, what I have accepted as principles in my life, have I accepted them because they are the truth and I want the truth and I want to live by the truth, or have I accepted those principles because that suits me? You'd be surprised how many people want to go to church and hear what suits them. Oh!
You're going to have a beer every now and then. I didn't think so. That's why I kept going to. Well, let me tell you what the wise man Solomon says in the Bible. Look not on the wine while it stirs itself in the glass. Because what's going to happen, said Solomon, it's going to come back to bite you.
That's why I'm a teetotaler. That's why I went to a Christmas party of a friend of mine where they were serving wine and they came around to me and I said, no, thank you. I don't drink. I've never tasted it in my life and I'm not going to start now. Thank you. Just give me some sparkling cider. Non-alcoholic. Amen? That's just a little example. But can you imagine how many things people want to suit their lifestyle, yet they want to feel like they're accepted by God? They want to feel like it's all right. And so there are those who are doing what the Apostle Paul said. They are issuing the principles of life to please whatever people want to hear. And we have to ask ourselves this question. Oh, if I'm the one that's pregnant and it's not convenient right now for me to carry a baby and it's interfering with my life, and I'm in the midst of getting a degree and I have these, you know, I can't have this baby right now. I can't afford this baby right now. And you'll find a preacher someplace who will tell you, God understands. It's all right. You see how we change the message to suit the desire. And we have to individually ask ourselves the question, the person that I am, the person that I have come to be, the character of my life, is it based on the truth or is it based on what I want to hear in my life? Paul instructed Timothy, as well as instructing Timothy, he was saying to me, on down in this age, preach the Word of God. Patiently correct, rebuke, and I like this next one, and encourage. encourage your people with good teaching. In other words, stick to the truth. Whatever it takes, tell the truth. Stand for what is right. Stand for the principles of God that are written in the Word of God. Where do we find this truth? Well, we go to Jesus, John 14 and 6. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. This fellow that we just remembered in communion this morning, he's the one that made that statement. Now, where do you find the teachings of Jesus? Only here. Amen. No other book. Under the heavens, anyway. No other book but this book. Now, you'll go into the Christian bookstore and you'll see what this writer and this author said about Jesus. But if you want to hear what he said, it's here.
Amen.
Right here.
Yes.
The only place. There's no other one given. I don't care how many other organizations might say, we have the religious book of all time. This is the only one that has the teachings of Jesus in their purity. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That means then, if this is the only book that tells us what Jesus said, what He stood for, what He was about, the character of His work, the character of His life, and what He commanded of us, then I can't go anyplace else and find truth. Hello? I can't go to another religious book and find truth. Because it doesn't have what Jesus said. What Jesus stood for. I can't go to the Republican Party and their platform and say, tell me the truth. Amen. I can't go to the Masonic Lodge. Because some of the stuff they teach is not in here. Oh, they've got this along with it. But they have inserted a lot of other things. If I tell you the secrets of my lodge, then my brothers can drag me out to the sea and cut me open and burn my body. Not the truth. This is it. Are we settled on that? Is this it?
Amen.
Where do we find the truth? In Christ and in Him alone. It is only through Christ and His provision that a person can approach God. There are no other ways. Did you hear me? I don't care if George W. Bush runs for president again and becomes president of the United States and he gets up in front of Congress and says, now this is the truth. If it's not based on that book, it's not the truth. And you come to my study and I've got his picture set in several places in my study. Yep.
Me and George.
But as much as I liked him, if he said anything other, and he said a couple of things other than what this book backed up, and I said, hey, you're wrong. It's not the truth. I don't care who comes. You know, there's going to be a man come in the last days. He's going to perform mighty things. He's going to say marvelous things. People from around the world will bow all to Him. But all that He says is nothing but a lie. He's known as the Antichrist. And the world will accept Him. And those who reject Him will do so with the shedding of their own blood and dying. Christ is the only provision and by which we can approach God. I can't get to God by saying, seven Hail Marys. Not going to do it. Brother John, you come up here and shake my hand till I've got blisters on it. But it'll never get you to heaven. Unless what I'm telling you is the truth of Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't care what the book is. I don't care what the people are. They might be nice people. Oh, I used to have a donut route. When I was in college on a Friday night, I would buy 100 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts for $30 and put them in the back seat of my Simca. And I'd start out Friday night. There were a group of Seventh-day Adventists that lived in my territory. I had to get to their house before 6 o'clock. Because after 6 o'clock, they wouldn't buy my donuts. They were nice people. They were glad to share my donuts when I sell it to them. You know, for $1.20 a dozen. Boy, don't you wish for those days again. Friday, Saturday, I sold 99 dozen donuts out of 100. They were nice people. They were good people. They lived good lives. But they don't teach the whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Not all of what Jesus taught said. You see, we have to depend on Christ as the source. Not who, not the messenger, but whether or not it meets what He said. Christ is the only source of truth. He is the embodiment of truth. Man can look at Christ and see a perfect picture of the truth of God. Years ago, there was a good preacher, a wonderful man, preaching the Word of God, sang terrifically, marvelous man of God. I enjoyed his preaching. I went to his camp meeting. He was good. But he messed up. And he went wrong. Jimmy Swaggart had to repent. There was a lot of people that was watching the man. And when he failed, which any man can do, when he failed, people lost their faith. I knew some, personally. Why? Because they had their eye on human and not on Christ. Let me tell you, I can tell you, the Christ never fails. And what He has said is the truth, the whole truth and nothing. When you look at Him, you see the embodiment of what truth is. And thirdly, Christ is the original source of truth, the communicator of truth. He reveals the ultimate source and meaning and the end of all things. I'd rather listen to the man who stood on nothing and spoke everything into existence. Amen. Than somebody who was born in an Asian country and only learned what they learned from others. Amen? Christ is the one, when the world didn't exist, spoke and it came into existence. In the beginning was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made manifest among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Christ is the orator. So I'm telling you, friends, the next decade, we need to get situated on, who am I? Am I what I am because that's what I want to be, to suit my desires and my fancies? Or am I what I am because it is based on the validity of the truth of who Jesus Christ Himself is? To believe anything other than what Christ taught is to open ourselves to falsehood and destruction. So I don't care who becomes a leader. I don't care who becomes your pastor. I don't care who comes to preach, or who you may turn to Channel 26 and see and hear. If it's not based on what Jesus Christ taught, then it opens you up to falsehood and destruction. Let this new year be a time to recommit ourselves to following only Christ and His teachings. Even when they call for changing who we were or what our lifestyle has been. Lord, if You command of me that I change, that I be a new creation, that I live my life differently than what I've lived my life in the past, then Lord Jesus, I surrender to You. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Amen. There you got it. I surrender all. Stand with me.